So Genesis chapter 27, and we'll start at verse 1. When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her eldest son Esau, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing."
It's a great story, isn't it? It's probably a well-known story passage in the Bible for lots of us. Maybe just though from your Sunday school days, if you can remember back to them, whether as a child, and maybe you learnt this story, maybe you acted it out, Jacob dressing up like Esau. Maybe you even taught it at Sunday school. It's a great story that we love to think about, And yet, as we slow down this evening, and as we take the time to look at it in a little bit more detail, we're going to see that less than being a great story, it's a desperately sad story. In this chapter, in this section of the Bible, we see a family in total breakdown and conflict. And look, there'll be people here who have brothers and sisters, siblings. Look, we're not talking here about sort of an argument over who gets to sit in the front seat on the way to church or anything like that. This is total family breakdown. Let's get a bearings on where we're at and who's involved here. We have Jacob and Esau, who are Isaac and Rebekah's twin sons. But we're told that a couple of chapters earlier, it didn't start that well for them. In fact, if you flip back a page, back to chapter 25, and from the start, or even before the start, before they've even been born, God says, chapter 25, verse 23, that the older will serve the younger. It's the younger son who God's promise and blessing will actually fall on. And we're told later on in chapter 25 that there's a difference in the lads. Verse 27, the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, whilst Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. There's a difference in their passions and interests as lads. But there's also difference in favourites. Verse 28, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, he loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Look, if you were to ask your parents who's the favourite child for your parents, they'll give you the right answer. There's no favourites. We love you all equally, but not here. With Isaac and Rebekah, there were favourites. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. It is a totally dysfunctional family. And so as we go into chapter 27, so we see the kind of dysfunctional family come to a head, as we see the desperate ugliness of sin. And look, as we work through the passage, as we look into the detail, it's not nice reading. It's uncomfortable listening this evening. But stick with me as we work through it, because at the end we'll see that there is hope in the midst of the sadness. You see, even with this unimaginable family situation, we see that God is still at work. We see that God can still remain faithful to his promises. But before we get there, first we've got to see the ugliness of sin. First then, the ugliness of sin. And in the ugliness of sin, we see this desire from them, the desire to be like God. So we have the family dynamics. Father Isaac loves elder son Esau. Mother Rebekah loves younger son Jacob. And as we've heard in the reading, as we hear what happens through this chapter, we need to ask, well, who's to blame? Who's at fault here? And naturally, our first reaction, and maybe as we've heard it as children or even taught it in Sunday school, is to go, well, Jacob, he's the one that's deceived. That was the last sentence that Caroline read out, verse 35. Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Jacob's the one at fault. But we've just seen two chapters before, but that Jacob goes on to be the hero. He's the one the blessing and the promise continues through. He's the one to bring hope to Israel. So he can't be at fault, can he? Look, as we slow down, as we work through the events of this passage, we're going to see that no one is the hero. We're going to see that every single one of them is at fault. Every single one of them is sinful in this passage. And so as we work through the passage, as we see what goes on, what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on these four different characters as we have a look. First, we're going to look at Isaac and Esau. Isaac and Esau. And then we see with them that they ignore God's commands because they long to be in charge of the situation. They ignore God's commands because they long to be in charge of the situation. We first start with Isaac, verse 1. We learn that Isaac is getting old, his eyes are failing, and so he calls in Esau. And he calls in Esau and he asks for food. Verse 3, get out into the open country, hunt some wild game for me. And so, verse 4, prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, bring it to me to eat, so that, in return, I'll give you my blessing before I die. Look, whilst Isaac might not be aware that Esau has sold his birthright to his brother Jacob, which we find out again in chapter 25, whilst Isaac might not be aware that Esau has done that, what he does know, what he will be aware of, is that God, before they are born, has called Jacob to be the one to receive the blessing. In the Old Testament, the birthright and the blessing are slightly different things. The birthright falls on the eldest son. And it's a birthright which would include a greater inheritance and a more privileged position once the father, the parents have died. But the blessing would be given out, a blessing would be given out to each child. And so there's examples in Genesis where the father gathers, as he comes to the end of his life, gathers all his children in front of him. And will bless each one of them differently. It's a family occasion. Yet here, what does Isaac do? Well, there's no family occasion here. In fact, kind of, he gathers in Esau without the others knowing and go, Esau, you come here. Let me give you and you alone my blessing. And what makes this even more surprising is if you look back to the sentences just before chapter 27 starts, we find that Esau has married two Hittite women, and verse 35, they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And remember that when this was written, there was no such thing as chapter headings and chapter numbers and verse numbers. It would just flow into the next sentence. So one sentence we have, Esau and his wives were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And then the next sentence we learn Isaac's thinking, "Ah, Esau, come to me, I want to give you my blessing." It's baffling. All because Isaac loves Esau. Isaac clearly only wants to give the blessing to Esau. Isaac loves Esau the best because he's the outdoors type, because he gets hold of the game that will be his lovely meal. And in fact, the blessing that Isaac ends up giving to Jacob, but thinking it was Esau, well, part of it actually goes against what God had said would happen when the kids come along. Remember, God said that the elder would serve the younger. And yet what Isaac wanted was to bless Esau and say, verse 29, be Lord over your brothers. May the sons of your mother bow down to you. You see, Isaac's love and favoritism for his older son, it blinds his spiritual sight. His desire for Esau and for food, it leads to him just ignoring God's commands. He wants to be in charge. He wants it done his way. And then we meet Esau. And I think it's easy to feel sorry for Esau here. What's he done wrong in this? He's been cheated out of it, hasn't he? However, then we remember that he's already sold his birthright because his stomach was rumbling. And we've also learnt that he's married Hittite women, foreign women. In fact, this information seems to kind of bookend this passage. So we're told it just as we saw the last two verses of chapter 26. And then if you flick over to chapter 28, the last couple of verses of this section, chapter 28, verses 8 and 9, we're also told how Esau married Canaanite women. And this is significant because when Abraham was around, he was called to himself and his descendants to not marry others who are not part of the people of God. So it's not the issue that they're foreign, it's more the issue that they're not part of the people of God. And so Esau hears that and has no regard for God's commands. He's not interested in following God's commands. He's given away his birthright, and with that his blessing, and yet he comes along and seeks it from his father. He sold his birthright for a pot of stew, and here he loses his blessing for a pot of food also. And so he faces the consequences. Do you notice the anger described when Isaac and Esau find out what's happened? Verse 33, Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then? Verse 34, when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry. He cries out for a blessing, but there is no blessing left. You see, both Isaac and Esau, they want to be like God. And so instead of listening and obeying and submitting to God's commands, they ignore them because they want to be in charge. They don't want to do it God's way. And look, before we're tempted to kind of look down and shake our heads at Isaac and Esau, the reality is that there'll be moments in our lives when we have these same desires. When I can listen to the commands of God and I think, you know what, I'd much rather do it my own way, thanks. When it comes to how I'm to live my life, when it comes to the decisions that I make, when it comes to the words that I use, well, then we can make choices to suit our preferences rather than submitting to God's way. You see, Isaac and Esau, they show the ugliness of sin, and they show it in a desire to be wanting to be God by ignoring God's commands and saying, I want to be in charge. But then we encounter Rebekah and Jacob. And in Rebekah and Jacob, they show us also the ugliness of sin, show us also a desire to be like God in a slightly different way. You say they hear the commands of God. Rather than ignoring them, they take matters into their own hands. So Rebecca, we meet Rebecca when she's listening. We hear she's listening in to what's happening, verse 5. And do you notice, in just verse 5 and 6 alone, do you notice how the brokenness of this family is shown? Have a listen, verse 5. Now Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son, Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebecca said to her son, Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother, Esau. Do you notice? It's not my husband, it's your father. It's not my son, Esau, it's your brother, Esau. You see, she hears Isaac talking to his son, so she goes and devises a plan to favor her son. Devastating, isn't it? And yet, it could be argued that as with Isaac, Rebecca knew the promise of God before the twins were even born, that it would be the elder who serves the younger, that the promise and the blessings to go through Jacob. And so she could be looking at this, right, and go, well, hang on a minute, all could be lost. What if it's out of control? I've got to intervene. And this isn't like the husband making his own decision on what paint to go, color to go with when they paint the walls or what sofa design to go with. No, this is much more important than this. This is God's plans. Surely she needs to do something. And yet Rebecca has an opportunity here to trust the Lord. Rebecca has an opportunity to approach the Lord. We don't read anywhere that she sought the advice and the wisdom of God in this. Rebecca has the opportunity to approach her husband. But instead, she chooses to work against the plans of her husband by deception. You see, she loves her younger son. So she deceives her husband. She plots against him and against his older son. She takes matters into her own hands. Do you notice verse 14 how the narrator emphasizes Rebecca's role in this? We're told, verse 14, so he, that is Jacob, got them and brought them to his mother. That's his role. And then she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebecca took the best clothes of her elder son Esau, which she had in the house, and she put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread that she had made. She acts against her husband to try and accomplish God's will. She doesn't trust in the Lord that he would be faithful to his promises in his time, in his own way. No, she takes matters into her own hands. But before we think that this is all Rebecca and no Jacob, before we think Jacob is just the innocent kind of passive party in this, well, have a look at him, what he does. To be fair, he hesitates at first, doesn't he? He questions the plan. Did you notice that? But do you notice why? It's not because he disagrees with doing the plan. No, it's just the practicalities of it. Verse 11, Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. There's no worry of, should we even be doing this in the first place? But rather, what if we get caught? And yet Mum assures Jacob, she prepares the food, she gets the outfit ready, and Jacob goes in to see his father. And so Jacob deceives his father by lying to his face. Verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. And then, even when questioned, verse 24, are you really my son Esau? He replied. I am, he replied. And not only does he lie straight to his father's face, but he brings God into his lies. Did you notice? Verse 20. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he answered. It's such a sad interaction here in this family. Even for Isaac here, you see the narrator kind of points out that there's something not quite right. Did you notice that? Isaac has his doubts. He knows something's up. In fact, he questions it five times. Verse 18, he went to his father and said, my father, yes, my son, he answered, who is it? Verse 20, how did you find it so quickly? Verse 21, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Verse 22, Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And verse 24, are you really my son Esau? Five times he questions it, compared to the start of the chapter when Esau walks in and says, here I am. And Isaac doesn't doubt it straight away. He carries on. I wonder if you notice the interesting detail the narrator gives, that he shows that all five senses are used by Isaac in this episode. And all of them, bar maybe his hearing, used negatively. His weakened sight can't tell his brothers apart. His touch deceived him into thinking Jacob was Esau. His smell deceived him by the scent of the clothes. His taste couldn't tell apart his favorite Esau's cooking versus Rebecca's cooking. His hearing was the one thing that brought him the doubts. And yet his other senses told him, don't believe you're his. And so Isaac gives the blessing to Jacob, thinking it's Esau. Jacob is blessed. Verse 28, there's blessing in the field. Verse 29, there's blessing in the family to lord it over your brothers, blessing over the nations. And then end of verse 29, there's protection in the blessing. Jacob, the cheating, lying schemer, taking advantage of his father's weaknesses. We see again the ugliness of sin. And look, Rebecca and Jacob, they similarly want to be like God, but rather than go against God's commands, like Isaac and Esau, this time they take God's commands, but take matters into their own hands by deception and lying. There's a lack of trust that God is in control of his plans. I wonder if we've ever felt like Rebecca or Jacob, find ourselves waiting for God to act, and therefore having a temptation of thinking, oh, maybe I'll just give God a little bit of a helping hand here. Look, God wants me to be happy, right? So it'd be fine if I go and do this because it will make me happy. Or God would never want me to be in this situation, so I'll do whatever it takes to get out of this situation. And look, Rebecca and Jacob show us clearly here that that God would never want us to use ungodliness, something that goes against his will, to bring about his will. And so the outcome of this chapter, well, no one wins. Isaac is deceived. Esau wants revenge. At the end of this chapter, we learn he wants to kill his brother. Rebekah gains nothing and loses everything. Jacob does get the blessing, but that was always part of the plan of God. But then because Esau wants to kill Jacob, Rebekah sends her favorite son away and never sees him again. Jacob is forced to flee for his life. A family torn apart. It's a terrible situation with a terrible outcome. So where is the hope? And yet in the midst of it, we see the beauty of grace. Because the promises of God cannot be thwarted. You see, in spite of sin upon sin upon sin, God's promises and blessing is secure. Even in the midst of sinful people, God's promises go on. How do we know that? Three things as we finish, three quick things. We see it by grace in the family. God still chooses and still uses Jacob. At the end of chapter 27, as we go into chapter 28, as this chapter has set up the sinfulness of the family, it emphasizes the grace of God. You see, it's only God's mercy that he continues to use this family. It's only God's mercy that he continues to choose and use Jacob. And so we see in the beginning of chapter 28 that the blessing of Abraham is given to Jacob, even in the midst of his sinfulness. Verse 3 of chapter 28, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. There's a recognition that Jacob is the one that God has chosen, and so because of that, God will not give up on him. God's grace wins. And through this and through the storyline of the Bible, it points us to the greatest act of sinfulness. And yet within it, in the midst of it, God is able to work for the greatest good of grace. You see, we see grace through sinful actions. God rescues the world through the sinful actions of humanity. Because later on, there is one who is dressed up in clothes that are not his own. But unlike Jacob, these are clothes of a purple robe and a crown of thorns. You see, in the moment of greatest human evil, God uses it for good. Jesus dies to take our curse, so that we might receive blessing. In fact, Jesus does what Rebekah offered to do in verse 13 when Rebekah said, my son, let the curse fall on me. And that is what Jesus says to each one of us, knowing full well the weight of those words. And finally, we see grace to you. God saves whilst you were a sinner. You see, God, if you sat here and you would call yourself a Christian, God didn't choose you because you were better or smarter or more beautiful or more holier than any other person. In fact, God chose you when you were still a rebellious sinner against him. God chose you because of his grace. And that invitation for grace is open for every single person. And so if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, that invitation is for you. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, you are never too guilty for God's grace. You see, God shows that he is able to work through sinful people. He is able to bring about his promises. He is able to show us his grace. He is able to bring us wonderful hope. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you that you are able to work in the midst of sinful people for the good of your plan and for the good of your people. Help us to know that and help us to trust in that and help us to live faithfully to you. In Jesus' name, amen.